Well, good evening again. It's good to be with you to open up God's Word together. I want to invite you to turn in your copy of the Scriptures to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you're using the Pew Bible, that is on page 1352. As we hear the word read this evening, I want to remind you that this is God's inspired, infallible, inerrant word read to us for our hearing, that we might be built up in our holy faith, not only to hear the word and to receive it, but also to obey it. So let us hear the word of God from Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. This is the word of the Lord. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. This concludes the reading of God's word. Let's ask the Lord to bless the hearing and the preaching of his word. Our glorious and great God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the powerful effect that it has when it goes forth to bring forth fruit that is pleasing to you, edifying to your church and strengthening us, that we might walk in righteousness, bearing the fruits of righteousness. That, Lord, also that as your gospel goes forth, as the seed is planted in our culture and in our world, it is effective and powerful to transform our communities and our homes, yes, even our own hearts. So, Lord, we pray that tonight as we meditate on the beauty of the gospel, the glory, the fruits of the gospel, the virtues that come from it, that, Lord, we would be strengthened to not only remember what we've received when hearing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that we would be faithful to proclaim what we have heard and received from this glad tidings that we have heard. We pray that you would bless this to the hearing of our ears, but also that apply it to our hearts, that we might walk in obedience to your word and to make the Lord Jesus Christ known. We pray this in his name. Amen. When I moved back from Missouri back to Indianapolis, my wife and I bought a house that the previous owner was not much of a lawn care guy. He really had no ability to maintain the beds where the flowers ought to be, where the shrubbery should be. It was just all in tatters, and the trees had overgrown our backyard. And so that first summer that we were there, we began to cut back the trees so that we could have a little bit more yard space so our kids could swing and play in the backyard, and that we weren't worried for limbs to fall down or anything like that. And then I began to do, in the heat of August, began to clear out the flower beds that had overgrown, and thorns and thistles, brambles and bushes that needed to be dug down deep and their roots cut up and pulled out so nothing bad would ever grow back again. And in that work, I was like, what am I going to put in its place? How am I going to fill this landscape with beauty? I'm not much one for aesthetics, obviously. And so I was like, what will I do? But I have this neighbor lady, Miss Kathy, just down the street. She goes, I'll put something in there for you. I think you'll really like it. I was like, come on over. I thought she'd just bring this one little, like, maybe a rose bush or some plant to plant. But she brought this really beautiful plant and put it into the side of our house, into the flower bed, and it was called lamb's ear. I don't know if you know anything about lamb's ear, but it grows these really pretty petals that are really soft and fun to look at, fun to touch, but then it grows this beautiful flower. And the thing about lamb's ear is that it just doesn't stay in place. It just doesn't grow up and then die and then grow up again. And then it spreads. And it spreads. I have more lambs here than I know what to do with now. There's more beauty on the south side of my house. I had no vision for this. I had no hope for this. I had no way of expecting that this could be a powerful plant that would add beauty with such a small little beginning. That lamb's ear, I think, has taught me a lot about the effects and the beauty of the gospel for which Paul, writing to the Colossians church, to the church in Colossae, gives God thanks and praise for. And it is the impact of the seed of the gospel planted into a community where the gospel has not been planted before, and the powerful effects that it brings on a people, the fruit that it bears. And it's not just this one little plant that has a little effect isolated in one spot. No, when the gospel comes to town, it completely revolutionizes everything. It changes the landscape of the culture in which the seed of the gospel is planted. Not only does it change the lives of individuals, it changes the fellowship of believers. And in doing that, it changes the cities in which it takes root. And Paul gives thanks for the gospel's effect in Colossae, among the Colossians. Verse 3 says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." We cannot help but give God thanks, to turn our hearts and to give God praise for His mighty work among you. When we think of you, we're thanking God. How often? Whenever we pray, we always thank God for the powerful effect the gospel has brought into your midst. So Paul thinks Colossians, he thinks the impact and the power of the gospel. But the interesting thing about Colossae is, Paul's never been there. He never visited to scatter the gospel seed. But he's hearing a report about the fruits that the gospel brings. And he's going, someone planted the seed. Because there's fruit there in Colossae. There's something powerful that's come to effect, and it's the good work of our faithful friend Epaphras, who was sent out from us to go and to take this beautiful gospel, this powerful plant that changes the landscape of the culture in which it's planted in. This faithful man, Epaphras, went to Colossae, planted the seed, and he's come back to us, and he's told us all about the fruit. He's told us all about the impact. He's told us all about what the Lord has done through the preaching of Epaphras in Colossae. And what was that fruit? He says in the last verse, he says, "He has made known to us," what a beautiful fruit, "your love in the Spirit." We know that the gospel has been planted here. We know that it's bearing fruit because we're hearing reports about your love. Not your love, but your love in the Spirit. That the Spirit of God has visited your hearts in such a way that your lives have been transformed, that you are marked out by love that comes from God. And out of this world, extraterrestrial love that John writes about, behold, what manner of love, behold, what out of this world kind of love we have been given. It's not the kind of love that you can get just from another human. No, it's a love that's come outside of us, to us. It's the love that comes from God through His Spirit. And the only way that comes to town and works in the hearts of people, it's when the gospel is heard and believed and it's lived out in a community. Paul gives thanks and praise to God. He doesn't congratulate Epaphras. He doesn't congratulate the Colossians. He says, "We always thank God. We praise God for the work He's done in bringing fruit from into your lives that can only come from the gospel seed." Well, how do we know that it's the gospel that Paul's really boasting about here? Well, we follow in the verses, but we notice that he gets carried away in his thanksgiving, rehearsing the impact of the gospel. He says, "When we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." Of this, here it is, you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. This gospel, he marks it out in a few different ways. He says the gospel is a message of hope about what's laid up for you in heaven. It is a gospel full of hope that is unshakable and cannot be taken away because it's not something of this world. So thieves can't break in and take it. Moth can't destroy it. Rust can't destroy it. No, it's kept in heaven where thieves cannot steal. It's kept in heaven where no moth is going to get to it. It's kept in heaven where nothing rusts and decays. This hope is unshakable, laid up in heaven for you. And this hope is namely about what he says, the Father of our Lord, who? Jesus Christ. This is the hope laid up for you in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of God. He is our hope. And Paul's use of the words, Lord Jesus Christ, are so intentional. He's not talking about a mere teacher who roamed around in the Middle East teaching kind and gentle statements about how to live a good life. No, he's talking about the Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh, Jesus who he will save his people from his sins, God's anointed, the King, Christ, the Lord who has sovereignty and reigns over all things, God who sent his Son in the flesh to dwell among us, to redeem us and to save us, and to restore us to a right relationship, not only with God, but with one another. This, Jesus Christ, is the hope that we have in heaven. That is the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ and what he's done for sinners like you and me. That hope cannot be taken away. Why? Because it can't be reached by anyone that would try to take it away. It's laid up in heaven for you, and it sits at the right hand of God Almighty. It is your hope, the Lord Jesus himself. And also, I think Paul is thinking about future fellowship unbroken with him in eternal bliss. No one will be able to take that away. That's the gospel. But the gospel is also the word of truth. It's unshakable. This message has come to you. It has been spoken to you. You have heard it with your ears. You've discerned it, and you have reckoned that it is true. The word of truth has come to you. This is the gospel. It's an unshakable hope, but it is a firm truth on which you can stand. It is the gospel, the word that was proclaimed. The word, it must be spoken in order for it to have its impact. Paul says, this gospel is the word of truth that you have heard. This is the word of truth. This is the gospel. What he also says in verse 6, though, you heard it and you understood it, the grace of God in truth. This is also the gospel. The unmerited favor of God coming to you and speaking to you peace when you're hostile toward God. Speaking to you love when you hated your enemy and your neighbor and those who were unlike you. The gospel that came to you and spoke faith and righteousness to you. That's all grace. That's all the grace of God. We don't deserve to hear this word, but the grace of God and truth has come to you. And Paul rejoices in the grace of God. Paul rejoices in the gospel. And then he shows us and marks out for us the fruit that comes from hearing. But notice it's not just the hearing, but the fruit is actually the living out of what you have heard. Paul says, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We know the gospel has come to you because we've received word about your confident assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns and rules, and that God has established his anointed king in Zion. And you have bowed the knee, and you've put your trust in him, and you are hoping in him. You are relying solely on him. We've heard of your confidence in him. We know that you've heard the gospel because you have put your confidence, you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. So he erupts in praise and thanksgiving, because when the gospel came to the Colossians, it produced the virtue, the cardinal virtue, the theological virtue of faith, confidence, assurance that Jesus is King. Christ Jesus could also be interpreted King Jesus. Your hope is in the King. And so he rejoices. But then he marks out another fruit. Remember, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the King, and of the love. What kind of love? The love you have for all the saints. This out-of-the-world kind of love that revolutionizes your heart and changes the way that you view people, the way that you view one another, the way that you view, being a Gentile, the Jew who's sitting next to you in church, and the way that the Jew views the Gentile sitting next to them in church. Those age-old enemies coming together in fellowship underneath the reign, underneath the gracious reign and rule of King Jesus, they begin to no longer hate one another, no longer hostile one another. No, they're marked out by love. God has torn down the wall of hostility, and he's brought natural enemies and brought them together and says, these are my people. These are my saints. See how they love one another? When the gospel comes to town, it changes the hearts of people that they look at what would be normally known as enemies as those to be loved, as those to be welcomed. And Paul says, this is the fruit of the gospel. You love all of the saints, not just the saints that you like, that you get along with, and that vote like you and look like you and talk like you, but all the saints, all those who have faith in Christ Jesus. You know the gospel's really taking root because it's bearing the fruit, that beautiful flower of love for all the saints. But he does an interesting thing here, and Paul often uses faith, hope, and love together. And this little triad, this little cluster he often talks about, but there's a change here in verse 5. He says, I've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Hope in Christ is the basis, is the foundation, is the soil in which faith and love grow out of. Paul is saying, when the gospel came to you, the message of King Jesus reigning and ruling, conquering sin, death, the world, and the devil, even your flesh, when you heard this message of hope and you believed that God had established his king, you put your hope in that unshakable truth. And when you were established in that hope, the fruit that came out of the soil was love and faith. This unshakable foundation, this solid hope, has borne fruit. And that fruit is faith in Christ and love for all of the saints. Paul says, the gospel bears fruit, and that fruit is love. That fruit is faith that grows out of the hope that we have in the gospel. But what grace it is when we hear the gospel, when we bear fruit. It's not a mere message in words that were spoken, but it is the very word of God that Paul says in verse 6, which came to you. It's like the gospel grew feet and walked to me. No, God, the one who decreed the gospel, he came to you in the preaching of the gospel. God drew near to you in the person of Jesus Christ and spoke his words to you. The gospel that came to you as if God walked into your town and opened his mouth through his messenger to speak to you. What grace? What grace? that the Lord of heaven would come to us and open his mouth and speak to us of faith that's unshakable, of love that loves our enemies, and of hope that is sure. It came to us. God drew near to us in Christ. This is the gospel. Jesus has come to you. And whatever the gospel is preached, it is as if Jesus walks right up to you and says, I'm here. Think about that. Whenever you hear the gospel preached, the truth of God, the word of truth, the hope of the gospel, when you hear that preached, it's as if Jesus walks into the room and just looks you in the eye and just starts telling you the truth about reality. He comes to you and he speaks to you about who he is. Whenever the gospel is preached, Jesus enters the room to confront hearts, to assure us of who he is. And by his Spirit, he begins to apply the truth of his glorious, gracious reign and rule to our hearts, that we might, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be converted. But Paul says it hasn't only come to you, so don't get too arrogant and prideful about your special situation. No, it has come to you, as indeed in the whole world. It is doing what it did among you. It's bearing fruit and increasing. Whenever the gospel is preached, you see the effects that it has on you. You grow in faith, you grow up in love, and you grow up in hope. But it's not just happening in Colossae. It's happening in Laodicea. It's happening in Hierapolis, those neighboring towns. It's happening in Ephesus. It's happening in Philippi. It's happening in Thessalonica. It's happening in Caesarea Philippi. It's happening in Jerusalem. It's happening all over the world. Wherever this gospel is preached, it's doing what it did among you everywhere. Because the gospel, when it comes to town, changes everything wherever it goes. It's bearing fruit. It's showing itself powerful and effective. And it's also increasing. Think multiplication, not mere addition. Multiplication. What glory, what power that this isn't just bearing fruit in individual lives concerning character, but it's also bearing fruit in the community. Individuals are, yes, being marked out by faith, hope, and love, but now this fellowship of believers, as a fellowship, is being marked out by faith, hope, and love. Not just individuals, but the community. Not just character, but also in number. It's increasing. It's growing. It's multiplying. It's just not a few people here. No, it's spreading throughout the community. It's spreading throughout the region. It's spreading all over the world, is what Paul is saying. Much like the lamb's ear in my garden bed. It just won't stop increasing. It just won't stop bearing fruit. And you know what? It's beautiful. Whenever the seed of the gospel gets planted, it cannot but help bear fruit and increase. That's its nature. That's what it does. When we hear it and we understand the word of truth, it bears fruit and increases. Not just fruit in our own individual lives, but fruit in our church. And we begin to grow, not only in character, marked by the gospel virtues, faith, hope, and love, but by God's grace, Paul says, they're increasing in number as well. But how does this happen? How is it that the gospel, the word, comes to a community? Is it through angels? No, that is not how it happens. And it's not mere by just hearsay of things. No, it takes people like you and me who have heard the good news of what God has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It takes people like you and me, who after hearing the message of the Lord Jesus preached through the gospel, and hearing it and receiving it and believing it, it takes people like you and me to go from the place where we heard it and begin to share it wherever we go. Remember, Paul had never visited Colossae. How did he get there? He tells us, you learned this from Epaphras. Epaphras, who is this man? What seminary did he go to? What town is he from? Well, we find out that he's from this town. But where did he hear it? He heard it in Ephesus. While Paul was there on his missionary journey preaching the gospel, Epaphras heard him at some point in time within those 3 years. Epaphras, sitting underneath Paul's teaching, heard him speak about the hope of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was so transformed by it that he grew in his faith and he grew in his love for the people of God. And he began to meditate on the hope that he had in Christ. And he sent back to his hometown in Colossae. And there, because he's a fellow servant, one who has partnered with Paul in the ministry of proclaiming Jesus, he goes and he proclaims the truth that he has heard. The faithful witness, Epaphras, is the means by which God is has used to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the Colossians, a place that Paul is never known to have ever visited. Paul realizes that if the work of the gospel is going to get done, it's going to be through beloved fellow partners, fellow servants, who go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus wherever their feet find them, scattering seed wherever they go, praying that the Lord will establish and build up and bear the fruit that only the gospel can bring. Paul says that he's not only a beloved fellow servant, but he's also a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He's one who's come to you with a message and now is faithfully ministering among you, for you. That's how the gospel has taken root in Colossae. Through the faithful ministry of a little known man named Epaphras. Someone who was once sitting somewhere just like you right now. Who, after hearing the glory and the beauty of what God had done in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the hope that he had laid up for him in heaven, of the confidence that he had in Jesus, and of the love that he was continually growing in, right there, hearing the gospel, underneath the teaching of Paul, this Epaphras, this man just like you and like me, got up from his seat, went out the doors, and began to share what he had heard with everyone who would listen. We long and desire to see our communities transformed by the gospel. Are you planting the seed? We long and pray to see faith and love and hope grow in the places where we live, in our homes. Are you sharing about the hope that you have? The confidence that you have in Jesus? And are you growing in love with those you live with? The way that we know that the gospel has come home to our hearts is by acknowledging, thanking God for the fruit that it bears, and asking God to do what he did in Colossae over and over and over again through people just like you and me, people like Epaphras who have received the word and go and proclaim the word. Because here's the thing about the gospel. When you plant that seed and it begins to grow, it bears fruit. It's unavoidable. The gospel can't help but being effective. So Paul knows that the word of truth, the gospel, the truth of God, the grace of God in truth has come to them because he's heard about the love that they have in the Spirit. What are we going to do with the good news we've received? Meditate. Meditate on the glory and the beauty and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contemplate how gracious he is to you, how merciful he's been to you, the hope that you have in him. Meditate on that. Recall that to your mind. Think about that. Think upon that in your hearts. And as you do, let love warm you in such a way. Let it encourage you in such a way that you must go encourage someone else with the hope that you have in the gospel. Feed the fires of your love with meditation upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider what kind and gracious King that you have confidence in life because of your faith in Jesus Christ. That you, yes, you and me, have learned how to love people that we normally would not ever associate with. What would compel us to do that? While I was an enemy of God, Christ came to me. While I was an enemy, Christ came to me. Why should I not go and seek to be reconciled to those that I don't love? The power of the gospel says that I will love because I have been loved. Think upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Think upon your hope. Hope doesn't fail. Hope doesn't, it's not wishy-washy. Again, it's unshakable. Meditate on these things. And as you do, your joy will increase. Your love will increase. And here's the truth about the human experience. You and I can't keep our mouths shut when we talk about the things that we love and take most delight in, because you do it all the time. So what is it that you're spreading throughout the world? Is it your hope and your faith and love in Christ? Or is it something else you find yourself talking about? Well, if you want to see the gospel advance, meditate on the gospel. Think upon the gospel. And then go and do what Epaphras did. Share it with everyone you meet. And then we'll come back again and we'll report to one another what the Lord's doing. And you and I will join Paul in always giving thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for what he's doing. And we will pray as the gospel is multiplied everywhere. So, let's think upon who the Lord is, even now. Just think about those three words. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, sovereign ruler and reigner of all things. Jesus, the Savior of sinners like me. Christ, the King, God's anointed, established on the throne. The one who has reconciled me, an enemy of God, to be the beloved of God. Why do I talk about anything else? Why am I not captivated by this? This is how the gospel grows. The people of God becoming so enamored with the Lord Jesus Christ. They go out and can't help but talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you and I, here we sit, hearing about the beauties and the wonders and the majesty and the glory. Even now, the Lord is ready to raise you up, to send you out, so that you can go plant the seed and see the fruit that comes, even to Lafayette, because of the power of the gospel. And whenever the gospel comes to town, it changes everything. So let's give the Lord thanks now. Father, we rejoice in your word. We rejoice in the gospel message that we have been reconciled to you and that you have established your king in Zion, the Lord Jesus Christ, our gracious God and King. We delight in knowing that you have called to us through your word. You proclaim to us the truth, and we have a hope that is unshakable. We have a confidence in your Son that cannot be taken away because he is in heaven with you. And he has sent from you your Holy Spirit that is working love in our hearts, not just for love, the love that we have for people that we like, but love for people, especially all the saints. Lord, we pray that you would plant the seed of the gospel so deep in our hearts and grow the fruits that we cannot help but speak of what we delight in and take joy in, so that we might see the gospel grow and bear more fruit, even in the places that we live, in the places that we work, and in the places that we have leisure. Lord, we pray, even now, the gospel would go forth from this place because some of us have heard the beauty of the Lord Jesus, have delighted in what we have heard, so we must go now and share it with those with whom we live. We thank you for the gospel that's come to us. We thank you for your word. We praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you.